We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Winklerverse. I'm Bart Winkler. Grant Bills alongside. Look at us with our shiny microphones here. On the Dan Shaney YouTube stream. You know, there was a post that was like talking about how insurance agent spokespeople are a actually significant part of our society. And so I threw Tim Shade drinking out of a Dan Shaney insurance mug. But it was because that State Farm guy is hanging out with Caitlin Clark.
For no reason.
But like, they're like friends now.
Jake from State Farm must be a good hang. He's got to be a good hang.
I don't know. Like, if you play a character on a movie, people understand you're playing a character in a movie. Like, if you see Jason Sudeikis, you're like, hey, that guy, that's Ted Lasso. Well, I know that's not his real name. And then,
yeah.
But if you see Jake, you have to, like, he has to be Jake.
That's a good point.
He doesn't get to, like, hang out with his friends at a bar. And not be Jake from State Farm.
Does Liberty Mutual have to cut bait with the Doug and the Emu? They're really forcing it, and I just don't think it's gonna. I don't think it's gonna work. So, at what point do they say it's not, or do they just force it for so long where we have to accept it?
I'm also surprised Flo's still in the game. I thought she would have bowed out years ago.
How much money has that woman? And I'm sorry, I don't know her real name. To your point, so I don't mean to just that woman. How much do you think she's got to have made so much money? What a great gig.
Well, I think I looked her up once. It's $500,000.
That's nothing.
But you're always on.
Surprised it's not more.
You can't even pick up your kid from daycare without being.
I bet when she's not wearing the progressive stuff, I bet she could blend in a little bit better. I don't know. I feel like she's real insuranced up in those commercials. And if she was just dressed and presented like a normal human, like you might out of the corner of your eye, but I don't think it would be like, holy shit, there's Flo. What do I say? Jake from State Farm, it's like his hair is his hair. And he is, you know, maybe if he's not wearing red, but that would be very, like, I could step in here. I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's Jake from State Farm. To your point.
I don't know. Maybe if he was wearing a blue shirt, maybe I would be a little thrown off.
I'm going to Google Jake from State Farm.
Maybe if he was rocking a Dan Shaney insurance koozie.
Jake from State Farm. He's got 300,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay. His name's Kevin Miles.
It is.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point of this diatribe is in this low class, low funny comedy is that why go to an insurance company that spends all this money on spokespeople? Go to Dan Shaney Insurance, where Dan Shaney is the spokesperson. I was actually in his he did a pool for the tournament, and it was just like, hey, everyone that's a client, you can do a pool, and if you win, I'll give you stuff. I took like last, but it was fun to feel like I was playing for something,
like you were a part of something.
Yeah. I was a part of something in Cleveland. I went and hung out for a buddy's 40th anniversary. But by that, I mean anniversary of life. It was his birthday. And then I was
at he's celebrating his anniversary with his wife, and all of his buddies come to surprise him.
was at this bar and I had text you that this they had the Edmund Fitzgerald Stout,
mm-hmm.
which tastes
I think it's a porter and it's not good. Well, but I don't like that type of beer. I like light beer and that's mostly it.
So I was singing Edmund Fitzgerald with my friends and then some woman, she was there. She kind of looked like Darlene from Roseanne. She sat down. I don't know if she like worked there and then was sitting at the bar. You know how some will do.
Mm-hmm.
But she just like sat there. And then she was like cocking off to me that that's the only Gordon Lightfoot song I knew.
Stop.
So I ripped off a bunch more. Then I got my buddy over because he's a big Neil guy. And then we had a Neil off. And I think I ran out. I forgot Solitary Man in the moment.
Wow. You forgot it completely or you forgot the lyrics? Or when you say Neil off, what do you mean?
Name as many songs as you can back and forth.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We probably went 50 deep.
Just dudes being dudes.
Yeah.
I do have this fantasy of being at, you know, that TikTok that went really viral during the pandemic where it's like when the fellas return to the bar and it's that guy, you know what I'm talking about? I have a fantasy of me and all my friends and all of the people at Dell's all around the bar just singing The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald as a group, or maybe a different song. I just feel like that's a bar where you could pull something like that off. Like, let's all join our voices in song as a bar community, as a friend group here.
I really push for our house song to be, but we in college had a lower level that was 5 people,
mm-hmm.
and an upper level that was 4 people.
Oh my God.
We were separate houses. It was on 8th and Vine with the volleyball court.
Yep.
I lived in that famous house.
Yep.
Although that court, I think, is murdered now.
Yeah.
What
was your house song? One song to define your time spent in that house.
I always push for it to be Faithfully.
By Journey?
Yeah.
Ours was.
And then one day we all reunited for one of those weekends, and then Faithfully came on the jukebox randomly. I put it on. And I'm like, oh my God, what are the odds?
Did they fall for it or no?
Oh, yeah.
It's a nice thing.
I caved and did $20 of Touch Tunes in Cleveland because I wanted to hear some songs. And I got skipped twice by Chicken Fried. Yeah. The same song they rushed to play. They paid ahead for Chicken Fried. And then I paid ahead for my song. And then they paid ahead for Chicken Fried again.
You pay ahead. I mean, it's a feel it out situation at the bar, but if there's any type of buzz on the queue, you need to fast pass. Now, if you get to the bar and it's all olds and nobody's really stacking up songs, you can get away with not spending the credits, but you're going to have to spend the credits.
Basically, you have to spend the credits all the time. You're never, otherwise you're going to wait 2 hours for your song.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not a bad thing. Sometimes when you're posted up at your favorite bar and you got nowhere to be and nothing to do, sometimes it's nice to queue up a song without fast passing, and then you forget about it. You have a couple of drinks, and then it comes on, and you remember a gift from past you now to be enjoyed by present you.
Yeah, I like that. Paul Immig will join us. I never even mentioned that. And this is Grant Bills, which I think I did mention.
You mentioned that.
And I'm Bart Winkler, and we are brought to you by Happy Place Hemp. Promo code BART, 25% off. The Brewers, as we're recording this, the Brewers just got a victory, a weird victory. They were getting no hit by some dude named Michael King, not to be confused with the longtime Milwaukee Wave legend, Michael King. Kinger is his nickname.
Oh.
Yeah, have you ever heard of that nickname for a guy
named King? I don't know Wave lore, I'll be 100% honest, but that's okay. Doesn't mean it's not cool, and it doesn't mean it's not a good reference by you. It's just not one that will land for me, and that's fine.
I never knew how to pronounce the keeper's name, but his last name or his first name is Victor No something. He was a boss. There was a guy, Pat White. Everybody identified him because he was just a red hair guy. But he also played for the Rampage, I believe.
Oh.
So he had like dual.
In Waukesha or where where the Rampage, where are they from?
The Milwaukee Rampage.
Oh, they had two.
They were indoor. They were indoor.
Oh, indoor was all the rage.
No, they were outdoor. Rampage was outdoor.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But indoor soccer, there was a, I mean, the wave in playoff games drew 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 at the Bradley Center.
Oh yeah.
And now they moved into the Chicken Shack across the street. And I went to the championship game there a couple of years ago. There were like 900 people there. I think they're in the playoffs right now.
You know, I have a soccer thing to tell you, Bart.
What?
I watched Liverpool lose their first game at home in however long to Crystal Palace on Sunday morning.
What are you doing all watching this weird? So you watched wrestling the other day? Now you
never watched soccer. Well, here's the thing. I was at my buddy's cabin. We were up north and we woke up and we were just eating and being boobs because we were hungover and we were scrolling around on cable and they didn't get anything. But I'm like, well, there's soccer on. Everyone's always tweeting about. Basically, my theory is people only tweet about soccer just to flex that they're watching soccer. And I'm like, well, let's see what's on. And we joined
a lot of,
in.
A lot of people you know for Packers coverage do that with the Brewers.
I had one of those people in mind also for the soccer tweets. So I guess multiple boxes checked.
The same.
Yeah. But both of my buddies, like, they watch Arsenal. They live in the Twin Cities, so they go to a lot of Loons games. They love going to Loons games. It's like their favorite thing. And there were stakes. There were historical stakes here. Crystal Palace, which I believe to be some not great team, against Liverpool. I didn't know Mo Salah played for Liverpool. I was like, wow, that's a name and a face that I know. And they held on. It was riveting. It was a thrilling last couple of minutes.
I didn't know Mo Salah.
Being online all the time. I don't know. He's an Egyptian.
They never make the World Cup.
I would never watch the World Cup. So, well, where's he from?
Egypt.
Yeah. See, I knew that. Yeah. I don't know why I knew it. I don't know.
Yeah, that was a big upset.
It was huge. You could see it in the faces of all the fans in attendance. I'm also a little confused. How cold is it there? And why did the managers, the coaches, why do they wear big down jackets? It seems unnecessary.
Oh, the one guy was wearing a $1.5 million watch.
Oh, the Liverpool coach?
Yeah.
Manager? What are they called?
Manager.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I'm not trying to disrespect the game. I was excited about soccer on Sunday morning, genuinely.
But you can call him a coach. I think that's why I hate the Masters so much, is because they make you call them other things.
What specifically?
The patrons.
Oh.
You can't call the rough. It's the second cut. They don't do front nine, back nine. They do first nine, second nine.
See, I actually like that, and I talked about this on the Wisco Sports Show the other night from 4 to 6. I listened to Sparky the last couple of days. God, is he a master at just working in the shows and when they're on and everything.
He will plug in Green and Growing in, like, conversations I have with him in the hall.
Uh-huh. He will plug Wisconsin Sports Daily while doing Wisconsin Sports Daily, where it's like, where I would say, and there's not a right or wrong way to do it, but I would say, we talked about this last night. He will say, we talked about this yesterday on Wisconsin Sports Daily. It's like, well, whatever. But on my show the other night, I lost my wallet. And it made for good content. And we started saying billfold instead of wallet for fun. And then we started saying Davenport instead of couch. And we're just, because I like using old-timey language. So I don't remember why. Oh, the Masters. I actually like that. I like being specific about using a word that's not the first choice for something, because I think it's funny. I think that's good humor.
But I don't think that's why they do it. I think
absolutely not. But that's how I interpret it, and I think it's funny for that reason.
They do it because they think they're better than people.
Yeah,
and they don't.
And they might. I mean, Jesus, look at the court. They might be.
They didn't. They don't. They only allowed white males until 1990.
Okay. Well, let's not.
And they only do their TV coverage once a year. They won't sign, like, CBS. They assume, and ESPN assumes, they have the Masters next year, but it's not official because the Masters hold that against you. Like, if you don't follow our things to a T, like, one guy in the Masters 20 years ago said, Oh, this is cut as thin as a bikini wax. They fired his ass for bikini
so
wax.
The Masters are like the LeBron James of sports products, and that they sign yeah. 1 year deals to hold. It's not the worst idea in the world
to hold you accountable.
Yeah.
The Into the Winkler Reverse podcast. That's what Happy Place Hemp does to me. They're like, if you don't take our gummies, we're going to cut you.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Happy Place Hemp, promo code's BART, 25% off each and every order. You go to the website, happyplacehemp.com, or you go to the physical location where they make the gummies. They make them themselves. They will distribute to them to you, distribute them to you for no charge in most cases. If you get the seltzers, get a few packs and then they'll get you the free shipping. But the seltzers are really good. The CBD, CBN ones definitely help me sleep. I needed one of those last night. I didn't tell my wife this yet, but we'll be in bed. Paul Emig's here. Paul.
Hey, Paul.
We'll be in bed, and sometimes, you know, in the middle of the night, my kid wakes up, he'll run down the hall. So last night, I think it was because I was close to, I think I was in that gray area of sleep, but I heard him, like, walking down the hall. I thought, that's weird. He usually runs. And then I waited for him to come in, and then he never did. And so I went down to his room, and he was sound asleep. So I heard someone walk down my hall last night. I got up. I checked. I checked the house with like no weapon of any kind. Just like, are you right there? So that was a little scary. Long way to say that I slept good the rest of the night because of those gummies. HappyPlaceHemp.com, promo code BART, 25% off. Paul Emig.
Paul.
Mm-hmm. BART, I've been there. I can... Yes.
So is it a ghost or what?
Maybe.
I don't think, we've lived in this house long enough that if there was a ghost, he's not just chilling out for a decade to be like, all yeah. right, now is the time when they least expect it after a decade.
Yeah. We're in year 10 in our house. Are you in year 10 in your house?
I believe we're in year 11.
Okay. Yeah, you're right, though. I feel good that we would have found out by now if there was haunting going on. So,
unless someone's died in my house more recently than after I moved in and I'm not aware.
Ugh.
Well, that would be weird. We also have these little, like, the attic isn't, there's, like, crawl space you can, yeah, so I get worried about that. There's like, a little man living back there. Anyway, I meant to say the Brewers just won a weird game. So congrats to them. They were getting no hit. Then I went into a whole soccer thing because the guy's name was Michael King. Sorry if you didn't see it, Paul. I figured you did. Fuck. The Brewers won 35-33.
You know what? You're off the hook because I would have watched it tonight, but there's NBA Play-In and there's AEW Dynamite. So those would have taken precedence tonight.
Well, it's a pretty quick watch either way.
Yeah, it was like a 2-hour, 40-minute game, wasn't it?
Quicker than that.
Was it? I don't know why that was the number that was in my head. I saw Adam McKelvey tweet it out.
Well, Paul, we've got a few minutes here. If you have any questions for us, we would love to answer them.
2 hours and 4 minutes, not to interrupt, but yeah. Okay. Four, not 40. Good. All right. Sorry about that.
Bart, you have any rants about a 2-hour and 4-minute game?
I like it that I was home. I would hate it if I had went to it today.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
They should play for the TV audience 9-inning games, and then for the audience that goes there, 13-inning games. matches, Paul, in wrestling. They should give you dark matches. Yeah.
I like that. And by the way, I'm on my notepad in case I went away there, but you can hear me, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right. So let's do Brewers, because I have Brewers and I have Bucks in particular that I want to get to in our time here together. So during Sunday's Brewers game, the announcers were talking about, like, Ricky Weeks is the offensive coordinator. Did you guys hear that during Sunday's game? Bart, you were in Cleveland, so you probably did not. Grant, I don't know if you caught that on Sunday.
I was listening to the radio broadcast driving back from up north. I did consume the whole game, but it was via the radio dial.
Very good. So you guys might be Ricky Weeks was described as the offensive coordinator, and they talked a lot about, and of course this is as the Brewers had just put up, you know, 11 on back-to-back nights, and just their offense has been great. And what they talked a lot about in reference to Ricky Weeks and the offensive coordinator job that...
Well, Paul disconnected, but now he is back.
Paul? How much of that did you hear? I don't know what happened.
Almost all of it.
Okay. Yeah. It was very brief, right? So Ricky Weeks, offensive coordinator, the simplified approach to the plate. And the question that came to mind that I jotted down was... in relation to Pat Murphy, in relation to, of course, Ricky Weeks, who then took the old Pat Murphy role, the Brewers clearly needed a new voice / new approach. Mm-hmm or mm-mm. You can take that to mean counsel or just what Murphy brings or whatever else, but like when the three of us talked about this topic when Craig Counsell was a free agent, we did talk about, like, you know what? Like, yes, you would invite Counsell back if he comes back and all that, but like, let's not put aside the possibility that Counsell was the longest tenured manager in baseball, and sometimes you just need a new voice. With a new voice, sometimes comes a new approach. Now, it's relatively small sample size because it's still mid-April. But like, clearly the results offensively have been really good, and I was just really intrigued to hear like this new approach. So take it however you want to take it. 2.5-3 weeks into the season, it's clear that the Brewers did in fact need a new voice, need a new approach, and that regardless of our personal thoughts on Counsell or whatever else, like, this is actually and was actually the best thing that could have happened for the Brewers. Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the offensive coordinator thing, I thought you might ask, is that going to be a trend in baseball? I think what's happening is they need to give Ricky Weeks something to do before he takes over for Pat Murphy in 3 years.
Sure.
So that's a good way.
Pat Murphy wins a World Series in his first year and then turns it over to Ricky. That sounds good.
Oh, that would be.
Oh.
I think that, like, it's not that they needed a new. They didn't need a new voice. Like, specifically.
But you,
like,
said. Mm-hmm. Team.
I know. I'm saying. Just wait. They needed a different voice than Craig Counsell. I think Counsell.
Say it.
Two things can be true.
Here we go.
Him going to Chicago was a dick ass move, man. That's so lame.
Scumbag.
Like, he should be in Cleveland or some shit.
Yeah. Okay?
But Counsell's demeanor, it's not like a, hey guys, have a good day today. Hey guys, let's fucking attack this Monday. Council's demeanor is like a physical heavy suck of joy.
Yeah.
And it just, he's not unhappy. He's just a prick. He's just a stressful watch. Yeah.
Like if the vibe around the clubhouse,
you get anxiety because of his anxiety.
I mean, as a non-player on the team, as a non-member of the roster, how could you not watch those moments sometimes, even on TV or at the ballpark, and be like, yeah, man, you're making this worse. Like you're triggering things here. Are you sure this is the vibe you want to give across?
That was my best physical impersonation of Council. I will answer not all that entirely differently from Bart. He said, and then like gave a creative answer. I'm going to say, and then give a creative answer. Spiritually, Paul, I agree with you. I think things needed to change. I don't know that those changes are contingent on a new voice at manager. Here's what I mean. I think a roster shakeup and an identity shakeup of this team and a complete reset is really helpful because we don't necessarily have expectations and it doesn't feel like we know what we're going to see when we turn on the game. And for a couple of years, it's like, all right, if they're down 3 runs in the first 2 innings, night's shot, game shot.
And you know what, though, if I can just say this real quick, Grant,
please.
I think if we felt that, and I certainly did, it sounds like you certainly did, the chances are so did the players.
They
are not robots.
Yep. So just to shake the snow globe, very similar with the Packers. Like this year was so fun, even though there were some games that absolutely sucked. Still big picture. And of course the end, you know, made it all better. But this year was so much fun. Whereas if they would have gone, you know, 9-8, 10-7 and won a playoff game and then lost the next playoff game, any of the years previous, it would have been not fun at all. It would have sucked. So yeah. I think shaking the snow globe and part of that is a new manager, but also this roster is really different. They have good hitters. And I saw Hunter, who I love. So this is not me smack talking Hunter, but he tweeted earlier when the Brewers went up today, Bryce Strang hits the single, steals second, and then scores on the Blake Perkins single from second, right, to go up 1-0. Hunter said, oh, that's a very 2024 Brewers way to score. And they have been stealing bases and been doing hit and runs, things like that. They're also tied for third in the majors in home runs. Like this team is hitting bombs. And they weren't the last couple of years. So while they're doing more fun things, and Pat Murphy, I think, has put new touches, they also have guys who can hit. And that wasn't really the case the last couple of years. And I don't think that was at all contingent on the way Council wanted to play. That was because that's what the roster dictated. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I mean, I'd say, so a few thoughts, and nothing you said I disagree with. But so I don't have a strong opinion. I'm not going to give you a hot take on hit and runs. You know, like, whatever. Hit and runs, whatever the case would be. But, like, the announcers called it out during the games over the weekend against Baltimore. They're actually, like, some of the things that the Brewers are doing in terms of aggression on the base paths and some of that other stuff, it is different. There's a very clear difference in some of the stuff that Pat Murphy must believe in to get an offense going, to get players feeling good at the plate, that Council's philosophy is different. And they're not, you know, apples and wrenches. Bart, what's your apples and
wrenches? Apples and wrenches, that's it.
It's not apples and wrenches, the difference in their philosophies, but they are, in addition to the home runs, they are executing differently offensively. They clearly have a different, like, value on things. Like, I do think of it, like, think of it in terms of, like, you know, like the toggle slider on a player on a video game, or like those NBA Jam shirts, like the toggle meters for Murphy, the manager, and Council, the manager, if they were put side by side on the t-shirt, what do you care about? What are they good at? They have quite different like NBA Jam statistics on their shirt.
So Murphy ever give any input when Council was around, or he's just like, you're the manager, I'm just here to help, man. Because I feel like that's it.
I do actually think that was it. And it doesn't mean that Council never took his advice on anything, but I don't think that was a blend of the Council Murphy. I think that was Murphy. I mean, I think that was Council, excuse me. Whereas it does feel like this is, you know, Murphy became a first-time manager in Major League Baseball. How old is he? Like 60 or something, right? Like,
well, he was an interim.
fine. But like, he knows what the deal is with. He knows what the deal is with Ricky Weeks. He knows, like, Grant, like, what if you said that directly to him, he'd say, yeah, I know, man. I know Ricky's going to have this job whenever it's time. And like, I'm sort of a placeholder of sorts. But hey, in the meantime, let's have some fun. Let's go win some games, whatever the case would be. So yeah. I'm going to answer my own question very quickly. I just say it's like, I think if you were to rewind the dial and this would have played out differently and Council was the manager in Cleveland and not in Chicago, to use your point earlier, Bart, I do think, though it might not have been apparent at the time when Mark Attanasio felt burned and whatever else, the Brewers are, and I say this definitively, beyond the Council hatred, they are better off where they are now than where they would have been without the change of voice. And I'm not going to say anything that we all haven't said, and this is almost to the point of it being parody when someone says this, but it's worth saying that a baseball manager is a manager. It you are setting a culture. Like, you aren't of course you're going to help with the hitting a little bit, but like, your most important job, I believe, in baseball as the manager is to set the culture, to set the tone, to set the vibe. And I do think in addition to hitting more home runs, and like, I do think it was time. There's a reason that there's turnover in sports at the head coach, at the manager position. And it was time. And I don't think any of us going back 8 months would have, you know, signed up for Council to be with the Cubs and like this whole Pat Murphy thing, but it is absolutely now the best thing for them.
Can we just, before we move on, just as an extra little middle finger to Council before we move on, the fact that you said more than once, he should be in Cleveland, that just even further underscores how big of a dick move he had to make. We were fine with him leaving our team to go manage elsewhere. We were fine with that. Do you know how fucked up that is? Where it's like, hey, I know you haven't won a playoff series with us in like 5 years, but hey, I guess for the sake of your family, if you want to move somewhere else in the country and do the same job, go ahead. We were literally fine with that. And he did it at the one place that we wouldn't be fine with. What an absolute ass.
Yeah, two things. The most two things can be true. Thing of all two things.
And I'm sorry. I'm getting a little animated, but at the end of the day, fan is short for fanatic. And sometimes I can't help it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do you want another Brewers one or do you want to pivot to Bucks?
I don't want another Brewers one.
All right. I just dropped my phone as a result of your humor.
How do you feel about these the start times here?
I hate them.
Aw.
So Sunday night, they play Sunday night.
That sucks.
And I thought I could do a post game maybe. And then I thought, well, Sparky's doing one. Trey and those guys are doing one.
Tip of the cap to you, by the way, for moving your Tuesday live stream an hour early to not conflict with Sparky. And I know that you're not doing that because you're like, I don't want to pull hundreds of listeners, because you wouldn't. But it's a nice thing that it is. Should not go unnoticed.
I'm Team WSSP all the way. Rami's probably doing one. Jake's doing one now. So. Should I just do one? I was thinking of doing like a post game show, like 10:30. But then Friday, so when do they play? They play on NBA TV on Tuesday.
Yep.
It's Friday game 3 and they play at 4:30.
My absolute last choice for the weekend 8 games would have been getting the Sunday night game, and it's the one they got.
Oh, I'm pumped about the Sunday this weekend.
Yeah. Well, if you think I'm watching the Bucks instead of Dynasty, you're out of your fucking mind.
Oh, is there a pay-per-view?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Sorry, Bucks. I'll see you on Tuesday, Bucks.
The way he lives his life, there's no one like Paul.
Why can't you watch the pay-per-view and the Bucks at the same time?
Or watch the pay-per-view afterwards. Does the pay-per-view
No. You got to watch wrestling pay-per-views live.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a definitive.
Oh, I couldn't even with my kid, because he ended up watching all of night one of Mania, or as he calls it, WrestleVania. Awesome. I kept him. I couldn't just pause it for 30 minutes to put him to bed. I just made him. He ended up falling asleep during the last match.
I mean, couldn't you have put him to bed during that fucking Uso match? That thing sucked.
Oh, had I known, yeah.
Couldn't they have given us a heads up, like, hey, we're going to do, like, a dog shit 4-minute match. Go put your kid to bed. That would have been considerate.
Jay, oh, Paul, Jimmy. I did want to. Did you see the Sami Zayn entrance?
Oh, on Raw, it was really cool.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome.
He's just a cool guy. Like,
so, Grant, WWE had this guy in charge of video production for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, there's a lot of things that people, that he did that people hated, you know, those violent chair shots,
the camera
would go with it. And since they got rid of him, the production quality on WWE is like the best it's ever been, but not even close. Cause it's pretty much just been one guy. And we didn't even realize how shitty it was until all the shit they're doing now. So,
well,
that did not go unnoticed.
What you're describing is like, they had this one guy doing it a certain way for a long time. And we didn't realize how, you know, not great it was until we saw it a different way. Pat Murphy, Craig Council.
Oh.
Well, the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result at the end of the day.
Did you, yeah. is that a Grant original take?
Yeah. I just, it's one of my isms.
Ah, I like it. Mm-hmm. All right. Trademark.
Just like one of mine is, the best ability is plausible deniability.
Dude. So it's funny, cause I had a caller call in a couple weeks ago and try to say that, and he stumbled all over it like we do sarcastically. He was like, well, the best ability is account, it's available, he couldn't get it out, and I'm sitting here because that's what we do as a joke, but he just couldn't get it out. So I thought of you guys.
Here's my Bucks question for you.
I like those little jokes that like are only maybe people pick up on them, but
those are the best jokes, is the jokes that are only funny to like three or four people, but to those three or four people, it's like the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah, like I, you know, you're not supposed to really do inside jokes or callbacks, but I don't do them for me. I don't do them for a big audience. I do them for like five people that might be listening. But their odds are probably they're not listening, but just in case.
But if they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For what it's worth, I notice them occasionally. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're one of the five.
Thank you for those. Thank you for those moments. Here's my Bucks question. And this would have been the most appropriate when the matchups were first announced. So I'm going to tip my hand and say, mm-hmm, to my upcoming question. This seed, this opponent, this spot in the playoff bracket, this was the best case scenario for the Milwaukee Bucks in this year's playoffs. Being the 3 seed, facing the Pacers, who, yes, have owned the Bucks this year. But not. So let's just go through the rest of it. If they would have somehow fallen a little bit and been the 4 seed, now in the second round, if you can get past the 4-5 matchup, now you're playing Boston right away. And Giannis at that point, presumably, even if he's back from his injury, isn't like all the way back, still working himself back. So all of those things said, being the 2 seed and maybe having to face Philly or Miami, all of it. Being the 3 seed, facing the Pacers, falling within the bracket where they do, this was the best case scenario for the Bucks. Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
I will say mm-mm.
Oh.
But I will say that on a classic Bart take of team I'm most willing to lose to.
Ah.
Like if the Bucks had played the Cavs and the Cavs beat us, that'd be annoying. The Magic, you know, oh, they're up and coming. The Sixers, oh, well, they got Embiid back. Yeah, any of these teams. But the Pacers is going to be like Tyrese Halliburton might only be good against us. That might be where he is a superstar. Because
there are, I mean, structural roster reasons for that as well. But also, spiritually, it just seems like things seem to go right for him when he's playing against us.
Someone was like, well, it's different since they last played because they got Siakam, we got Pat Bev, and I'm like,
I mean, they don't have Mathurin or Hield. Bucks have a new coach. There are some, these differences aren't insignificant. When you frame it like that, like, yeah, that's a little.
They played 5 times and none of those were in the past 100 days. Like, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
What is Doc Rivers' goal here? What does he want? Have you ever seen a guy so like? Well, I won't. But
I think Doc is like a.
He just, it's like, do you want this job, man? Why'd you take this job?
Like Jimmy McGill, when he takes that job with Davis in Maine, where it's like, is this not everything that you wanted? Why are you being a turd about it?
It's everything you worked for.
Mm-hmm.
I think Doc is like one of those set expectations low guys, so that when you maybe even marginally do better than the expectations that you seem to have set externally, people are like, oh, okay. So yeah, they did actually outperform.
You know? Yeah, he's like, you know, yeah, it's tough. New coaching change is going to be tough on anybody, no matter what the culture is. He's just like, I wouldn't have wished this job on anyone. I look around and I'm stunned that these guys even know how to pick up the spherical object.
I'm stunned that they let us in the building this morning.
Yeah.
That our fobs worked, you know, shit like that.
Doc's got a real radio host mentality. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to fucking be here. Thank God I'm still here.
That's funny. Yeah.
I will answer the best case scenario for the Bucks. Mm-hmm. I think because or maybe I actually don't know how to answer this in the way that you want me to answer it. Okay. I am so out on worrying about opponents. I don't think teams that are championship teams with championship aspirations and championship medal think for a moment with concern about their first round opponent versus another first round opponent. I think if you were a team with goals of winning a championship, you hit the ground running, you play to win every game, and you roll out the ball in game one of series one against whoever it is, and it's your job to beat them. Because I don't think a run at an NBA finals can begin with losing games, drop down to three, and I just don't think that's how it works. I don't think that's how championship teams operate. So if you're spending the final week of the regular season scheming and wondering, oh, if we rest guys here and rest guys, I just think you're setting yourself up for failure. I don't think a team with championship medal and aspirations can operate that way. So I don't care about opponents at all. I haven't really thought about it. If this Bucks team is going to do it, they're going to have to beat all these teams in some form or fashion anyways. And Boston's on the other side of the bracket still. So as long as they're above the three, I don't care. Roll out the house. And I actually like that Doc said that. He said that. He was like, the Pacers owned us this year, right? Because he wasn't around for any of the games. He's like, all right, great. Perfect opponent. Then we'll have to try hard. I'm like, actually, that's the first thing you've said that I actually kind of like.
Mm. The other way I was thinking of asking this that seems appropriate, given the way you responded, Grant, is if the Bucks can't beat the Pacers with or without Giannis, just fucking lose now and get on with it. Mm-hmm or mm-mm. I would again say mm-hmm. Like, I'm not trying to discredit the Pacers, but if Giannis misses the first, let's say, 2-3 games and then comes back and he's only 70%.
We're just going to do what we did last year. We're just going to get hurt again and then make changes.
No, what I'm saying, though, is, like, if you're a team that truly has aspirations, like real, actual, legitimate aspirations to win the title, to go to the finals, per Grant's point, it shouldn't matter who you're playing. So if you can't, it doesn't matter who you're playing. That you should then just go ahead and, like, if you can't get past the Pacers, with all due, then just lose now.
Correct. And I don't think that's what's best for the Bucks, but selfishly, that's what's best for me. Because if this team is going to not do it, just fucking end it. Because I'm sick of this, respectfully.
I said with Ty, do you guys feel like in any way we're about to watch 2 months of Bucks basketball?
No, I don't.
By the way, depending on how they play Sunday, I could change my mind. 100%. They could play great once, and I'm like, oh, there it is. I'm seeing it. But as of right now, no, I don't feel that way. I don't think they're going to get blown out on Sunday, and I don't think they're going to get swept. But I certainly wouldn't pick them to, like you said, to start some long run.
So let me ask you this then. Let's go back to our tried and true. You get $1 million if you're right. The Bucks are winning this series. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm. With all of the unknowns of not only Giannis's health, but apparently Damian Lillard's health. You get $1 million if you're right. Bucks win this series.
The Bartometer this week on Infinity Sports Network.
Yes.
Is going to be, here's the next two Bartometers. The Bartometer this week is going to be my confidence in the series, who's going to win by a confidence level.
Oh, I like it.
And then next week's going to be best sporting events where no sport is played.
Best sporting events.
So I'm talking NFL draft, Election Sunday, the World Cup draw, shit like that.
That's nice.
The NFL draft is
clearly number one.
Yeah. Gotta be number one. And you'll be doing that on the night of the first round of the draft. So it's
I'm gonna Wednesday.
Ah, and your machine can do that?
I'll have to bring it in early because during the draft I will be co-hosting with JR Sport Brief from 7 to 11 Central Time.
Wow.
New hours for 2 days.
So he's staying a little late and you're coming in a little early?
Yeah, he's got to do 6 hours. I just moved my four up.
Oh, so you're done at what, 11?
Yeah, it feels like I'm going to have a vacation.
Yeah, no shit. That's actually a pretty good deal for you.
Who's 11 to 1 those nights?
Shep.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right.
Let him cook. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then, yeah. Anyway,
nice.
So the Bucks confidence. I think they're going to win this series, but I think I have to think that. I don't know.
I think so too. I also think they could get swept, but like that's a very, very real possibility. I think, given the health of the roster and the way they've played for the most part. But I'm going to say, and not for like, you know, because I need that to be my answer, but if you have to beat the Pacers, that's just the deal. You have to beat. I think they'll beat the Pacers.
But where do I rank that in terms of the other series?
I would think like 7.
Oh, it'll be low.
Yeah.
May I present a little question of my own that both of you might find interesting?
I might even talk myself into Lakers over the night.
Here's the question. I think you'll find this interesting, Bart. The Bucks. I'll try to say this like Paul would. The Bucks have lost their first round series in 5 games. Now, well, okay, I nailed the first line, but now I don't know how Paul would continue. But basically, my question is: if the Bucks lose in 5 games and it's bad, the Bucks roster and coaching staff will undergo less change than the Golden State Warriors roster and coaching staff.
Warriors are running it back, dude.
Why? They can't.
The way Kerr was talking last night?
Yeah.
He's like,
Warriors fans are pissed at Kerr.
Yeah, well, here's my thing with the Warriors. If they let Klay go, and then that's a free ticket to trade Draymond. Under what scenario are they better than this? I don't see it.
They're not better, but they could.
So they're going to run it back for like a thank you tour.
But that was this year, with respect to all of them. This year was the thank you tour.
Paul's off the books for 30 mil.
Yep.
They can trade Wiggins.
Oh, Paul. I meant Paul Imig. I'm like, I didn't know you were paying him that much.
I got an even more fun question I might do tonight. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Hit me.
So Jonte Porter's been kicked out forever.
Mm-hmm.
And no one gives a shit. So where's the cutoff of like, because like this isn't even going to hit the Today Show, man.
Who's the NBA?
Who's the guy that's got to be like, oh, this guy was gambling. This is a big problem. Because everyone's going to be like, ah, it's just some fucking dumb idiot doing this. Where's the cutoff?
So let's go through the Bucks roster. If Pat Connaughton did this,
would it be a huge deal nationally?
Not good enough.
Say, mm-mm. If Bobby Portis did this, I'm going to say, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they're like kind of like the same talent level, generally. Like they're kind of like in about the same tier. But like,
but then if Thanasis did it, it'd be bigger than both of them.
True.
It'd be
true.
That's a good take.
Like if Marjon Beauchamp did this,
no one would give a fuck.
If AJ Green did this,
I'm not sure I would give a fuck if Marjon Beauchamp.
But the Bucks. Like, but if we're gonna look at the Bucks, their year's been so fucking weird, and the Raptors just stink.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a wrinkle to that that we have to consider too.
Who's
Jonte Porter's definitely like, even though his brother's Michael Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely in like a, like it's, this isn't Pete Rose here.
What about like Bam?
Oh, Bam to be a huge story.
Would it be big?
He has he's a champion. He's an all-star.
He's not a champion.
Oh yeah. They just made the finals. That's right. Twice.
Sorry. I was like, did I? No. And I'm sorry to come at you like that. I No, well, I'm just trying to think of like a very good player who would probably never be the best player on a championship team.
Oh, yeah.
What about like Kyle Lowry?
I was thinking about Kyle Lowry too, but he's too old now. Who's the modern Kyle Lowry? Because I think he's perfect, but we need the current one.
Jose Alvarado.
Yeah. Jose Alvarado.
Stupid answer.
By the way, mm-hmm or mm-mm, you knew who Keon Ellis was before last night.
Yes, and you know why?
Tell me why.
You know why.
DraftKings.
Fuck, ain't nothing but a heartache. You said what? Tell me why. You said tell me
yeah,
why.
Yeah, 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 I gotcha.
Yeah, DraftKings.
Yeah, but did you like, could you have told me anything other than the fact that he existed?
I could have told you that over the last 2 months he's been starting and has had some really good games.
Yeah, he's not like, and by the way, for me, I knew who he was. I had not like sat there and, as I heard someone recently say, grinded the Sacramento Kings tape. Grant, I thought you'd appreciate that in particular.
That's really funny. Speaking of not giving a shit about a certain player, I have notifications on for Adam Schefter, and he just quote tweeted something and said, another wide receiver not at the start of the team's voluntary offseason program. I said, oh, who's no showing? And I open it and it's Darius Slayton. No one gives a shit.
Darius Slayton?
Yeah, Adam Schefter made a point to quote tweet that. It's like, another wide receiver's not showing up. Don't Darius Slayton with Ayuk and Jefferson. Come on, and T. Higgins. Come on.
Well, let's not throw shade on T.
No. I'm saying let's not put Darius Slayton in with T. Higgins and all the other guys. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I follow you.
Or CeeDee Lamb, another one.
I feel like we have a few mm-hmms on the table that have been thrown out there. So I don't know exactly who the midpoint is of that this being a huge story versus the sort of relative non-story nationally that it is. So the Bucks, Grant, you never answered. $1 million. Bucks are winning. Mm-hmm. Orton beating the Pacers.
No.
You get an extra million if you get it right in terms of the number of games.
Again, what's in what pick would I be more mad at myself for? I watched probably 60 to 70 games of the shitty team all year. And there were only a couple moments where I was like, wow. And one of them was literally the first game of the season that was before Halloween.
Yep.
And if I went against that and then was wrong, I would be mad.
Bart, did you hear what Grant just said?
Halloween.
You guys are both Halloween and not Halloweens.
Well, it's pronounced Halloween.
It's certainly spelled that way.
You speaking of
Halloween would be spelled with an O.
I know that. I'm aware of that. But you are both in the minority of how you pronounce the word.
Halloween. Bart, you say Iowa really weird, by the way.
You do say Iowa really weird.
And with Caitlin Clark being as big as she's been, I just have noticed it. You go, yes, Iowa. Iowa. Why do you do that?
This is one I was not going to bring
Iowa.
Up in a private or public manner.
Iowa. Now, Iowa. Iowa.
No, you go, Iowa.
Iowa.
You say
Iowa?
It like a tribal chief is what you say.
Iowa. Iowa.
Iowa.
Iowa. Maybe I do. Iowa. She plays for Iowa.
You say Iowa weird. And with Horvat, it was always the Titans. Like he just didn't. He would ignore the T. And those were always the words that I would notice.
See, you know, sometimes I wonder why I like certain people and don't like certain people. And Grant, I'm constantly reminded of why I like you. And because your brain attaches to the same weird things that my mind does, which is people... People often, there are words or names with like T's in the middle that too much of the country, like, and Grant and Horvat was always like Titans. And I would sometimes text Bart like during his show. I don't remember if it was that one, but I'd say like, does he know that there's a T in the middle? Like,
well, Sparky's been shit on for that one too. And because he replaces the T with a D. So he would say Titans.
Titans. That drives
Where's
me nuts
Sparky
too.
From?
Like Oak Creek.
Yeah.
Where does the Southern thing come from? There is a Southern thing. It is a thing. It is a thing in radio. Alex Strauf at ESPN does it too. All of a sudden, and the Packers. It's like, where did that fuck? Where is? Are you from Savannah?
They're in the southern part of the state.
That's not clever. Funny answer, but
Grant, the other one that I always noticed, there was a certain Packers beat reporter guest on Bart's show who would say, "Interesting."
Yeah, interesting.
Interesting. And I would sometimes text Bar just like drink because it would be like, everything was interesting. It was a like it was like the number one word that would
no,
be.
No, I like interesting. The best thing since wrestling and festing in your kids' ears and nesting.
Very good reference. Jesus. But no, there's a T, man. Hit the T. Hit the T on Titans. Titans. At least you can't say Titans.
Well, I say tit ands.
The worst thing I've ever heard.
Here's the other thing I want to say real quick, because I know we're limited on time. I do want to ask you guys if we have time to like tell me what I was going to suggest. Timberwolves versus Suns, the most compelling non-Bucks related series for you. You can answer that one if you want. But I want to say I watched every second of both games last night.
Yeah.
And I am moving further and further toward I am not going to watch playoff teams play in the regular season. I'm done. It's nothing.
No point to it.
I've gotten closer to this point in the past few years. I like watching the Rockets in the regular season because that really, really matters. Like when the Thunder were coming up, like those games really mattered.
Like Thunder, Wolves, Rockets. There are like the teams that are arriving but haven't arrived yet. Like those are the fun teams to watch.
Yeah, like the Magic in recent years. But like regardless of how this Nuggets Lakers series shakes out, I'm not going to watch the Nuggets and the Lakers next March.
In the play-in 3 out of 5 times because they know they can just dick around all year, rest. All they have to do is win 1 of 2 games and then they're in.
The NBA regular season is for playoff teams, for like legit teams, absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, and we've mentioned AEW on this podcast a couple times now. So like, I'll just say people who stay up late there was that post WrestleMania episode of AEW Collision. And it was the one that they called For the Sickos. So like, you just got done watching 4 hours of wrestling. And you're like, you know, I'm going to watch 2 more hours of wrestling. You only do that if you're one of the sickos. NBA regular season is for the sickos. It's nothing. You can enjoy it, and that's great. And I hope you enjoy it. And I hope people like it because it is basketball, and basketball is awesome. And these are the best 400 players in the world. But like, it means nothing. And the play-in tournament and the playoffs, that was the best like 5 hours of television that anyone could produce. Like, it was so, forget like basketball, that was entertainment. Like, it just ruled. It was so good. And nothing that I saw in the past 6 months had any bearing on what I watched last night. It was a completely separate TV show.
No, Bart's always been right about this. The NBA regular season is a means of crowning an MVP and other awards. And the MVP award and all the other awards are simply means for content for NBA people. And I'm so fucking over it. I can't. Every NBA podcast is just the hosts going over their ballot. And everyone is so, so proud of, well, this is my process. And this is how I came to this. Like, they're outlining the rubric for their class. It's like, well, I value this. And other voters might value. I'm so over. I'm so done with it. And Paul, I've been a league pass guy.
Yeah.
In the past. I like regular season basketball. And this year I'm like, why are we honestly doing this?
Yeah, Grant, you and Brent, I know we got to wrap up here, but
we do.
Part of that thought I brought that up, Grant, is because you said, hey, let's see how these play-in games go, because I'm not sure if I'm going to be out on the NBA.
Yep.
And I was right there with you, right there with you. And then the Tuesday night games happened, and I'm like, oh, okay, I see what this is. Like, you know, Bart, you referenced dark matches. Everything that just happened for the past 6 months was a dark match.
It didn't mean anything.
No. It had no bearing on what happened last night. None. Unless you got injured. Like, you if you get injured between October and April, that's sucks. But it was a different product. It was a different game.
Well, I got to go on with Zach Gell. We're doing 5 minutes on who the NBA MVP should be.
You're not really.
Is Gell a voter?
He's a Heisman voter somehow. The fuck did that happen?
I want to know I want him to go in depth on his process for that vote.
Yeah. Although I heard Chris Mannix on Coward talk about why it should be SGA, and it was pretty good.
I think I'm Luca, but I don't, who gives a shit?
I'm Luca too.
How can we be so uninterested by the regular season and then have a passionate take on who the best player was? I didn't give a shit the whole time. Why am I supposed to like care vehemently who the, you know, whatever. Go do Gelb. This was a treasure. Nice to see you both.
Thank you both. Thank you both. Thank you both.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for coming into the Winkler verse. Wherever you get your pods.